Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, so the injury bug has hit the Texans. We already know. Joe Mixon, we have no idea how long he's going to be out for. As far as the war of attrition in week one, Cade Stover is going to be out indefinitely with a broken foot. We found that out yesterday. Jake Andrews is going to be out for the foreseeable future with a high ankle sprain. So you lose your starting center. You lose your tight end that played the most snaps out of any of the tight ends, out of your two tight ends. Cade Stover was, 57% of the snaps. He's part of this offense.
And Cade Stover did some good things in that game. I think both tight ends took some lumps versus some really, really good defensive ends, and that's not a surprise or anything. But, yeah, Cade was one of those guys where you look at and you think, I was hoping to see was, some steady improvement over the course of the few weeks as he's in a new offense, but also playing for an offensive coordinator who is a tight ends coach. Man, you might really get the best version of whatever Cade Stover is going to end up being. And as a blocker especially, he's just got more potential and upside than Dalton Schultz.
Yeah.
Great. Dalton Schultz is cool. He's like, in terms of loves this offense, wants to really buy into all the blocking and everything, but he's just physically not going to be the same guy that Cade Stover potentially could be.
This tight end room is kind of a crisis situation right now because the plan at the outset of training camp was just to roll back the three guys you had last year. That was one of the few rooms where you made no changes. I mean, it appeared as though, Seth, the plan was going to be Dalton Schultz, Cade Stover, and a repaired knee, Brevin Jordan. You lose Jordan to a torn ACL again. You have Irv Smith, who they also brought back. He was on the team at the end of last year. He suffers an injury, and he's on IR with Brevin Jordan, and neither of those guys are on the IR designation where you can bring them back. And now Cade Stover is out for who knows how long. D'Amico's supposed to meet with the media today, so maybe we learn more at least about whether or not it's a long-term IR-type injury or it's a short-term. He could be broken foot. Feels like an IR thing to me, right?
So...
what's the solution here at tight end? Is it as simple as calling up Harrison Bryan and Luke Lachey?
I think so. I think that, and probably Harrison Bryant, just by virtue of his NFL experience, and is a guy that's a willing blocker, I think it's going to be Harrison Bryant, unless Luke Lachey really just impressed them in practices or whatever and stuff that we might not have seen in preseason games. So you've got bodies there. Earlier in the first segment of the show, we had somebody say that we were treating this Cade Stover injury as if the Texans had lost Rob Gronkowski or something. Like, A, no, we were not. B, right, he's not an all-pro tight end or anything. But I don't know if you noticed, but the offense in general didn't look that good the other day. No. So this would be like if you have an old, you got an old beat-up vehicle, but it's your only vehicle, and all of a sudden the three of your spark plugs are shot.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a worse vehicle than it already was.
Yes.
So yeah, it's a big concern that Cade Stover was potentially going to be, I think, a good thing for this offense. And the other thing that the tight ends allow them to do is they're able to, when you're nervous about your offensive line, okay, you can run out of these condensed formations. You can have two tight ends in. You can have a fullback. Whatever you have to do to add more bodies there, then you can do that. So you're down one of those guys. Yakob Johnson being able to play both fullback and tight end is probably the likeliest. Yakob Johnson might not get sent back down to the practice squad this week. I think that...
Well, that's right. He was a call-up this week. That's right. Yeah.
So Yakob, it might be as simple as... maybe they bring Harrison Bryant up also, but Yakob Johnson allows you to keep an extra body in there and still add some extra protection for the offensive line, but without altering things too much.
Yeah, this is where this, I mean, where it's week one heading into week two. And in my mind, we're already in places where you're like, oh, you got to start keeping track of some of this stuff. You can only bring back eight guys from the IR during the season. They've already got Jalen Reed, the safety, who's on designated to return IR. You got two guys in your starting center and, you know, tight end, 1A and 1B. You've got 1B who's maybe injured enough to go on IR, but I think they would like him back later in the year. And some of these practice squad guys, you can only call a guy up three times from the practice squad before you got to make a decision on him and put him out there on waivers to be picked up. So it's the Texans view the roster not as a 53-man. They view it as a 70-man roster, and they're getting tested on that here early in the season as to how they juggle these positions, for sure.
The foot, let's see. Can you off the top of your head remember a time where there was a foot injury that ended up being a simple foot injury? I feel like in my mind, every time there's a foot injury, it ends up being a long, drawn-out affair where, hey, Matt Schaub had a Liz Frank, and supposedly it's no big deal, but man, he never seemed like the same guy after that Liz Frank.
Ever.
Kevin Johnson back in the day, foot injury, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Like, it never seems like a foot is as simple as just a foot. Yao Ming. I'm 100% positive that I'm forgetting a bunch of guys or whatever, but that's the way it feels, damn it.
Yep. Jake Andrews out with a high ankle sprain. Honestly, when they threw Jarrett Patterson in there, I'm like, okay. I mean, I don't have enough of a body of work with Jake Andrews to be super upset over. I mean, I'm upset for him, obviously. He's getting a chance to play, but I like, as far as what I think the effect is going to be on the team, I guess the only thing would be CJ's been working with Jake Andrews the entire preseason, and there's a chemistry thing there, I would imagine. But he's worked with Jarrett Patterson before too.
My impression from training camp was that I thought that Jake Andrews was better in the run game than Patterson, but that I wasn't super stoked about either of them in pass protection. And that's the biggest difference. But also, I think Jarrett Patterson has shown before, at least, that I think they trust him more with the calls than they trusted Juice Scruggs on picking up a new offense and everything. Jake Andrews was the starter for a reason, but it doesn't feel like that big of a drop off.
That's what I mean.
As opposed to if Chris Myers were the starting center.
Correct. Yeah, that's exactly right. That's exactly right.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
So I put up a poll yesterday, Seth, and I don't know if you've looked at this or not.
I have not looked at the results. I've looked at the poll, but not the results.
Okay, the poll is this, and it's really just sort of a rehash of week one. Simple one, Pender poll for Texans fans. What are you most concerned about after week one? One of the choices is other, so I said if other, just tell us what it is, you know, reply to it. But here are the choices. O-line shuffle, penalties, play calling, other.
Okay, I'm going to tell you mine.
Okay.
But then I have to guess what everybody else was going to say.
Correct.
So the three choices plus other. O-line shuffling, for me, it's especially a concern just because it exposed how uncomfortable they are with the depth at offensive line. Yep. And that's one thing that happens. And hey, if you go out and overspend in free agency on an offensive line, you might not get the bang for the buck. You know, it might not be the most efficient, but at the very least, you create a deeper offensive line.
Yeah.
You know, you don't expect every guy you sign to be an all-pro or anything, but you've got a deeper offensive line. The Texans don't have that depth right now. Penalties, it's just not fun to think about penalties. It does concern me that they had these pre-snap penalties yet again.
Sure.
And then play calling, I'm going to echo what CJ had said in the postgame, which is because of those pre-snap penalties, because of some of the sacks and what have you, they didn't really get into Nick Caley's bag, I think, on a lot of the third downs. So I'm gonna hold off judgment on that. So for me, it's O-line shuffling. I think that most people who responded to this poll also agree with me and said O-line shuffling.
You are correct on that. Now, would you care to take a stab at the percentage of people that chose O-line shuffling?
Okay, penalties is just – penalties doesn't put butts in the seats. You know, it just doesn't. No matter how real an issue it is, it just doesn't put the butts in the seats.
Yep.
Play calling, I think a lot of people too – now, People are upset about Nico Collins not getting more targets. I get that, but that's also easy to tie in to both the offensive line, the penalties, and all of that. So I'm going to say 54% said O-line shuffling.
You know what? Give the man a ding. 50.1% within 5%.
Wow.
Yeah, 50.1% said the O-line shuffle. I think what's
my confidence level in that one was about the lowest it's been. So
you nailed it.
All right.
No, you nailed it. I think what's interesting, if you were to take that choice and then create its own poll, like, oh, so why is it the O-line shuffling?
Yeah.
I think you brought up a different point than how most people are feeling that way, because it's just disorganized and you're messing with a rookie who you've got a decent investment in. Like, what are you doing? You had Ursary playing left tackle the last month, and now you're moving him to right tackle against Jared Verse the day of the game. I think your view on it is interesting, which is the O-line shuffle is being caused by the fact that you don't have good solutions behind these guys.
Yeah, people kept saying, why aren't they putting Juice Scruggs in at right guard? And my thought was, why is Juice Scruggs the backup right guard?
Yeah.
That's the part that, for me, has been curious. And that's where, but I've been, it's not like I've been, you know, skewering them for it. In my mind, it's been like, all right, well, maybe they feel that much better about Juice Scruggs in this system and with proper coaching and everything. That's where I'm going to give them a pass on it. But then when they don't put him up there because they still don't trust him, then I'm immediately think like, okay, well, the pass I was giving you obviously wasn't a valid pass.
Yeah.
You don't feel good about Juice Scruggs either. Why is Juice Scruggs the backup swing interior offensive lineman? That's the part that doesn't make any sense.
If Ed Ingram, who himself probably isn't a starting caliber right guard, at least hasn't been over the course of his career, if losing him is causing you to shuffle three or four spots on the offensive line because you don't trust his backup, then you need a different backup.
Right, right. And that's where, if you go out and spend in free agency, at the very least, even if you don't get a great, maybe if you overpay for a guy who's just an okay right guard, yeah, then your backup is a guy like Ed Ingram. Yeah. That makes perfect sense to have Ed Ingram as your backup. But now you've got a guy who's backing up Ed Ingram, and yet you still don't even feel like he's worthy of backing up Ed Ingram, apparently.
I hate saying this, but I think it feels like the reason that Blake Fisher and Juice Scruggs are on the team is because they were second-round picks.
Yeah,
you know, they were day three picks. I don't know that they'd be on the team. They've been that bad throughout training camp.
And for whatever it's worth, Ed Ingram is he did start. He was a full time starter his first couple years in the league. It was last year where he got benched midway through the season. This is his fourth season in the NFL. But he was he's labeled a disappointment in Minnesota.
Yep. All right, Payne and Pendergast. By the way, the other percentages. So 50.1% for O-line shuffle. The other half of the choices here, penalties, 22%, play calling, 14.5%, other, 13.2%. Next segment, I want to read a couple of the responses to other to you and see if you're as concerned about
okay.
A couple of these are interesting.
Okay, yeah. Okay, cool. I'm interested in that.
So we'll do that. And also, I found a new favorite college football coach because he sticks up for my people, the Gamblers. We will have that for you, and we'll find out what the guy's got going on In the Loop as well. We'll do that coming up next.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.